Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call. But actually, for the first hour, I'm not going to be taking any calls. I'm just used to saying that. This is Free Talk Live, but tonight is going to be Argentina Talk Live. Sorry, what'd you say, Nikki?
That is Free Talk Live.
Well, it is Free Talk Live tonight.
I thought you were going to charge for it or something this time.
Charge for what?
Yeah, so it wouldn't be free talk. It's going to be like, you know, pay per minute talk.
No, but this is going to be a really good episode, I think, because I think that Americans need to hear more about this. I have noticed, personally, as someone who only speaks English, that I think that there's not enough coverage of Javier Milei. We've been covering it a bit on Free Talk Live, but I had to pull in some resources. By the way, with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Colin.
And Nikki.
And also we have a special guest on the phones.
Hey, Bonnie and Scott.
We have Scott here with us from the Seacoast, so I had to pull in these resources to help us talk about Argentina. Nikki and I are here for moral support and to be
with our Argentina shirts.
Yeah, and to be Argentina cheerleaders. Basically, Scott, you know basically everything about Argentina, right?
I've been following it for quite a few years and studying Argentina, and it's a fascinating country. I also have family in Argentina, so.
Why did you go there? Like, were you just interested already in it?
No, I'm married to an Argentinian, and I married her. We got married I met her about 9 years ago, but I was interested in Argentina even before that because of its rags to riches, riches to rags story. That is so fascinating. It's captivating a lot of libertarians now. And, so that really, was interesting to me. And then when I met my wife, then I really got into hyperdrive with Argentina, studying it and learning about its politics, its culture, its history, and that sort of thing.
So for the listeners that don't know, Argentina recently elected their first openly ANCAP, which
the
is
the world's first.
Anarcho-capitalist.
That's what's even more cool about it. It's the
president.
First person in the entire world who's been the president of a country that self-identifies as an anarcho-capitalist.
Right.
So it's yeah.
So
but yeah. Sorry to interrupt there. Yeah.
No, you didn't interrupt. So as far as the rags to riches, riches to rags story you're talking about, let's go back to the 1860s in America. We know there was like the Civil War, and then Lincoln getting assassinated, and Lysander Spooner, but what was happening in Argentina at that time?
Yeah, so after it gained independence for a while, it had a bunch of civil wars prior to ours, and then in 1860, they basically adopted the American Constitution. There was a guy named Juan Bautista Alberti that convinced the politicians of Argentina to embrace freedom, to embrace liberty. And in their constitution, they put that property rights are inviolable. They cannot be infringed upon. It was an extremely pro-liberty constitution. And from that point on, their economy just absolutely blew up. And they actually had 35 years of the fastest growth in world history. And it went from this poor country that was suffering from wars and low grow stagnation to the richest country in the world by 1895 in the turn of the century. So by embracing these ideas of freedom, Argentina became the South America, or the America of South America. It was the place where all the immigrants wanted to go to. So they got a huge influx of Italian and Spanish and some German immigrants that really led to this burgeoning of economy and prosperity. So it just became this this place. There was a term about 100 years ago that went as rich as an Argentine, because Argentinians were considered to be very rich people.
All because they just embraced a little bit of capitalism?
Yes, right.
Yeah. And then how did they end up in the state they are today, where they're now pretty poor for the most part, way more poor than it seems like they should be with all the resources that they have, and they have an extremely beautiful country. You know, they should be probably doing better than they are today. So how did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of followed America's lead with the progressive era in 1910s. They elected Woodrow Wilson type of progressive leaders, and that started to regulate do the whole progressive agenda. They started to do regulations on businesses. They actually cut all the women out of the workforce.
By force?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. Why would they do that?
I think
maybe they were so wealthy that the women didn't need to, right?
No. It was by force, by law.
It was. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is when they were getting progressive. That's a little weird.
Sorry. Yeah, I misunderstood. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and they started to regulate businesses and stuff, and they started to embrace this collectivist ideology, and then basically this failed. And a military coup took over. And what happened with that is this leader named Juan Domingo Perón basically took charge of this coup and essentially became the president of the country. And ever since he became president of the country, all of the political leaders have been what they call Peronist after him. And he weaponized the state to basically foster in this new era of a mixture of socialism, of fascism, mercantilism that they've been suffering from since that time. And they also changed the constitution to say that the government will provide housing, food, and et cetera. So,
what year was this?
Perón, the coup happened in the 30s, and Perón took power, I believe it was in 1946. He's the one that allowed in all the Nazis into Ukraine, into Argentina, and he and his wife just were master propagandists. Perón actually had learned from Benito Mussolini how to use mass communications to propagandize the people. I'm sure FDR as well. So he and his wife, his wife is insanely popular there. She's got murals and stuff.
Yeah, wasn't she a prostitute or something?
Yeah, she was a prostitute. She ran on this, she had this, this rags to riches story, but the only reason that she became rich is because she married the president of the country.
Hmm. So that was the only job that women could work? They weren't allowed to only be prostitutes?
Well, I think she was a failed actress
that's usually how it goes.
Yeah, and she did stuff like every single new thing that was open, she had to go attend it.
She cut all the ribbons, you know.
All the ribbons, all the athletes that came into the country, she had to get a picture with them. You know, Perón beat up and spied on and beat up his political opponents and would audit the opposing newspapers. and do all this stuff. And everything he did was a populist thing, like a left populist thing, to try to get more people on his side to consolidate his political power. And he would spend, overspend, and on certain projects that people liked. And, I mean, he did things like he let women vote. They were kind of late to the game there, but so that's kind of in his lore too. So
basically, he turned the country way further towards progressivism and further away from capitalism. And to this day, they haven't really recovered from that, and they're having crazy hyperinflation, like prices changing on the shelves by the hour, right?
Well, yeah, they haven't had any other type. I mean, even though they've had other like parties than the Peronists, everything they've had has just been some version of a left-wing socialist. You know, it's like, what would the least worst that they had be? Just like a social democrat? What, you know, what would that have been?
They've had, along with Chile and South America, they've had military coups. They had a couple decent leaders that were couped by the military. So they've had, I think, 5 different military coups, including Perón twice. He got couped by his own military because the economy was so bad. But in the 90s, they actually did have kind of an era of prosperity where they had a hyperinflation in 1989, and the next guy that took power was a Peronist. But at that point, they're like, yeah, this stuff is not working. And he did a whole deregulation decree, kind of like Milei is doing. And what he did is he tied the peso to the U.S. dollar, one-to-one on par with the U.S. dollar. And for a while, it really worked. It lowered transaction costs. The new deregulation allowed their economy to kind of flourish. In the 90s, it seemed like Argentina was going back to prosperity. However, they had the biggest financial crisis in world history in 2001 because they couldn't keep their fiscal deficit in order. They kept spending more than they were taking in taxes, and at some point that just collapsed on them and in such an incredible way in 2001, where they basically they actually introduced a quasi-currency. They basically shut down the banks. You couldn't get your money, and they gave people this quasi-currency that was worth nothing. So they defaulted on their debts, and it was a huge disaster, and Argentina has never recovered since then.
So then fast forward to maybe like 2021, when Javier Milei was like, okay, I'm going to get into politics. Why did he do that?
Yeah, so the last 20 years have been dominated by this type of Peronism called Kirchnerism. It's the husband, Nestor Kirchner, and then once he died, his wife took power for 8 years. And they plundered the country to such an enormous extent. Just to put it in perspective, in 2000, about 4% of the country lived less than $5 a day, on less than $5 a day, only 4%. Now it's about 40% live less than $5 a day. They live on less than a cup of Starbucks coffee, 40% of the country.
Wow.
And 10% of the country.
That's going to ruin my plans. I was going to go down there and start selling Starbucks coffees. Now what am I going to do?
That's right. And another 10% of the country is basically homeless. So this group of hyper progressives totally ruined the country and plundered the country to an extreme extent. They were extremely corrupt. She basically stole billions of dollars from the treasury, but they totally, like Perón, totally used the state to consolidate their power. She took control of the news agencies. She started to subsidize all the journalists. She was paying for all of her political rallies. She would pay people to go to her political rallies. I mean, on and on and on of the corruption and weaponizing the state for their power. eventually it got so bad that they elected another person. She served for 8 years from 2007 to 2015. They actually elected another person called that wasn't actually not a Peronist. And this is maybe one of the only guys that wasn't a Peronist that Colin is talking about. He was a center-right type of guy. But he was like a Republican in today's, like, he was worthless. He gave power, and to be fair, he didn't have much power because the Peronists, the Kirchners, owned the,
so entrenched, yeah.
Like the Congress there?
Yeah, they owned the Congress. So he had really no power, but he really didn't even try to do anything. He was, so worthless. And so the Senate and the economy did not improve. I can just talk about how bad it is in just 1 second, but he was worthless and the economy was awful during him. So they reelected the Kirchners again, and they put Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner as vice president. To show you how crazy this is, they caught her red-handed stealing billions of dollars from the Treasury, red-handed, and then they elected her to become the vice president of the country.
That's crazy.
So corrupt, yeah. There, it seems like. And you have mentioned in interviews before that they have laws against prosecuting people who have ever been president, right?
Yeah, so when she got caught with her corruption, what she did was she ran for Senate in Argentina. Why? Because, yes, you can't be prosecuted if you're in the government.
Wow.
That just shows the moral hazard of Argentinian politics. I mean, they're all crooks.
Can Javier Milei change that? Like, can he go after that law?
He actually is trying to go after all the corruption and stuff, yeah. I believe he is trying to change it. So she became a senator, and it was wild how popular she is. Like, everybody knows that she's corrupt, but they're like, who's better under her? You know, they have all these stupid excuses for her. And she became senator, and when Mauricio Macri got beaten in his reelection campaign in 2019.
The Republican-y guy, right?
The Republican-y guy got beaten in his reelection campaign. She became the vice president. And, I mean, the level of depravity this woman has, she would use the infrastructure projects basically to enrich her and her cronies. They would take bribes for these interests.
I mean, so it's basically the same as the U.S., right? You know,
except for to an large extent, a bigger extent, they would take bribes for these constructions projects, and then
as 10% goes to the big guy, right?
Yeah, 10% goes to the big guy. They would overcharge for the construction projects, and a lot of times they wouldn't even finish the construction projects.
Just pocket the money, and
she owned a lot of these construction companies. Well, they got really sloppy. They got very sloppy, and they actually kept account of all this corruption, and they found that those accounts of all the corruption. So even after this, she got elected senator and then vice president, and then they had the worst lockdown in the whole country, where they were.
It was one of the worst ones in the world. I mean, I remember
this was like COVID 2020.
Yeah. Okay. In fact, I remember hearing about it at the time, and of course, I was looking into other places all around the world and traveling a little bit. Spent a lot of time down in Mexico during the pandemic, but I remember hearing, you know, because in Europe it was bad. Some countries worse than others, but almost all of Europe was horrible. It sounds like the impression I got in Asia was really bad, but only for a short period of time. You know, like the presidents there were saying, we're going to shoot people who are walking around.
Yeah. Well,
but then that all stopped, I think, within maybe a year. I don't know, it's going to depend on the country, obviously. But I remember at the time hearing about what was going on in Argentina, just being like, oh, this is horrible. This is one of the worst ones, you know, in like South America. And I was kind of writing it off like, I'm not going to go there and visit it. But, you know, I think that's largely led to this reaction.
Yeah, like,
too,
people,
you know, because
like,
I mean, they took people who had no money anyways, and then they said, you got to stay inside or whatever.
And that
you know, yeah, really put them in pain, yeah.
So now they can see, like, the policies they have voted for kind of suck and lead to this crap. So maybe it's what opened the door for Milei?
Well, even we saw that in a lot of places where, like, COVID was kind of, like, the thing that pushed people over to the edge and, you know, made people open their eyes to a lot of government corruption. I mean, even in the U.S. So I can't imagine if it's on the scale that it was at in Argentina, if it was really that bad, and then people are under these, like, awful, awful lockdown conditions for years. I mean, of course.
And I also think they tried doing the United States' playbook where they just basically paid people too, which the United States could kind of, the United States federal government, you know, those guys, they could kind of get away with that because the dollar is the world's reserve currency. So every time they print up money against that, you know, it's being dispersed. The dilution is being diluted all around the entire globe. But, you know, they tried doing that down there probably because of the Keynesian economic type and modern monetary theorist influences, not realizing that, you know, you can't really do that if it's your own currency and it's literally going to be born
work that well.
On the backs of all of your own people directly.
They were doing stuff like you had certain times you could go to the store, and they had governors like the in Formosa most famously that would just arrest anybody that was out walking around. I mean, they had patrols. I heard that at one point they had 40,000 people that were arrested in prison for walking around. Just the depravity of this. And Malay was like one of the only people talking against it. And that's one of the reasons why he got popular. Now we can get into Malay a little bit, but like there was nobody talking about it. And, the 2021 elections, the Kirchners kind of got wiped out. To the extent that they've never been wiped out before. And Christina Kirchner blamed it on the president. So she's the vice president. She blamed the loss in the midterms because they remember that the president was in 2019 on the midterm elections on the president, on Alberto Fernandez. And that caused this whole rift in the whole Peronist/slash Kirchner movement. They started infighting and fighting. They put this they gave basically total control to this guy named Sergio Massa, who's the guy that ended up running against Malay. And the economy just cratered. Now, I'm just going to the extent that I can, show you how bad this is in Argentina. Yeah. And in the year 2000...
Let me throw in something there. It's important to mention, too, that you have Milei, and I'm skipping a little bit ahead, but Milei, who's an economist, running against Massa, who was the former economics...
He's the economics minister.
Okay, well, we're going to come right back and finish. We're going to explain to you how we get from where we are now to an anarcho-capitalist president of Argentina today. 603-283-6160. You can call in like 30 minutes or so. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Senator Lindsey Graham advocating for a change in the law that shields social media companies from lawsuits. Group of senators questioning tech CEOs about the issue of sexual exploitation of children. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg testified that much has been done.
Over the last 8 years, we've built more than 30 different tools, resources, and features that parents can set time limits for their teens using our apps, see who they're following, or if they report someone for bullying.
Graham expressed dissatisfaction with providing blanket liability protection to social media companies. Continued Iranian-backed attacks against U.S. and British warships in the Red Sea are likely. Houthi militants in Yemen, stating their opposition to perceived aggression by the U.S. and Britain, have expressed their intention to continue with the attacks. Former President Trump is considering hiring a new lawyer to appeal the verdict in the E. Jean Carroll defamation case. John Schaefer, USA News.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Control. That's Free Talk Live, and tonight we're talking about Argentina and how we got here, where we are today with an anarcho-capitalist president in Argentina, the only openly ANCAP president in the world. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Colin.
Sorry.
And Nikki.
I didn't unmute her. And we also have a guest on with us.
It's Scott.
Thank you for being here, Scott. But I wanted to tell the listeners that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. Dash transactions are irreversible, so Dash is great for merchants. Plus, its network is protected from 51% attacks by its Chainlocks technology. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. Now, in the last segment, we were having our guest, Scott. He knows a lot about Argentina and how we got here today. So we're having him start from the 1860s when Argentina decided to go pretty capitalist and they became so rich that there was a saying, oh, rich as an Argentinian, or Argentine, I think it is.
Yeah, there's a little more to that.
Good. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry about that. Yeah, there's a little bit more to that even. You know, at the turn of the last century, they were right up there in, like, the top 10 rankings of wealthiest countries. I forget because I don't know.
In the 90s?
No. Yeah, being born in the last century. I still refer to that as the other one. So two centuries ago. Makes it sound really ancient. It was in the top 10, and I think it may have been number one or may not have, and it was ahead of the U.S. Of course, it's all going to depend on what your metrics are. How do you exactly measure that? But, you know, we kind of get the idea that that means the people had lots of wealth. They could buy the things they needed. They probably had low, like starvation rates and things like that.
And earlier, Scott brought up that now 40% of people in Argentina are living on $5 a day and 10% are homeless. I looked it up while he was talking about that. Only 0.19% of Americans are homeless, for reference. That's a crazy amount of homeless people that they have now, because they went towards progressivism and communism.
Yeah, and they have and some of them are homeless, but they have these ramshackle, like, so depressing houses that you see on the roads. And so they do kind of have homes, but they are just so depressing. And basically, if there's bad weather, a bunch of them end up dying. And
that's
so
terrible.
Yeah. There's a prime real estate outside of Buenos Aires that they just these homeless people just built these shanty towns all across this prime real estate, and this is where, like, I mean, you look at these places, it's so depressing. It's whatever they could possibly build to build these places, the sheets of metal, whatever. And so they do have homeless, and then they have these shanty towns that people live in that are just super depressing.
That sucks so bad. So you were explaining to us how we got to this state, how it got so bad, and what year did you leave off on?
Yeah, so I was just going to talk about the inflation and how bad, I mean, to put it in perspective.
I think the audience is going to need to hear this, because it's what's coming to the U.S. too. So they'll have to, you know, start gathering up your sheet metal, maybe, you know, go to, like, Jay Noon's man camp and learn how to weld, so you can start welding your little shanty town together.
Yeah, you'll need some real skills.
Yeah. You're going to have to learn how to, what kind of trash is safe to eat and what kind of trash isn't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you do see a lot of people eating trash in Argentina, unfortunately, when you go there.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's ironic, they're like a number one, agricultural exporter.
Yes.
And they have just so much of it. And of course, that's with the restrictions the government puts on them that keeps them from producing as much agriculture as they're, you know, going to be able to now.
That's right. Yeah. So in the year 2000, the Argentinian peso was 1-to-1 with the dollar. So it was pegged to the dollar, yes.
So is that kind of a bad thing as far as, like,
It really is bad if you are printing money as they were. So if you're printing more pesos, at some point, it's like the Bretton Woods system. At some point, it's going to fail. And that's what that 2001 crisis, like the biggest crisis in world history, that just pummeled the country. That default was as a result of that, where people couldn't, they shut in all the banks, the people couldn't get their money, get access to their money, and then they gave them this quasi-currency, this fake currency. Oh, this is a real currency, it's an IOU, this is actual real money. No, it turned out to be not real money, it turned out to be nothing. So it went from this 1-to-1 to at the end of Cristina's second term is 16-to-1, which is really, really bad.
So that's 2015?
Yes. That's a pretty bad devaluation. And then after Macri's turn, it went to, I believe, 60-to-1. I know Colin knows, but do you have any idea, Bonnie, what it is today? I'm sure Colin knows.
Yeah, I do.
Today, it is over 1,000-to-1.
Whoa.
So 1,000 pesos for $1.
In 24 years?
In 24 years, actually. Yeah, 24 years. And I remember
the way people should think about that is, you know, it doesn't really actually matter what the ratio is of one thing to another, because, you know, if a gallon of milk costs $4, you know, and then it's four, you know, this would be 4,000, well, then it still costs the same, right?
Yeah.
The key, though, is, you know, that's changing rate every, you know, day, and so it means you can't even save anything. So imagine if you save the money, it's basically completely worthless. And, of course, another thing that leads to is a change in people's habits. You see, when you're able to save things, you can make a long-term plan. You know, I'm going to do this in 10 years. I'm going to have this much money set aside. I'll build a house. I'll start a business.
Oh, so that's so depressing. So they can't even really, count on anything in the future. Like, save up, you know, with some elbow grease, I'll be able to, you know, like, buy a house and start a family. They can't even have any sort of long-term planning. Yeah. That's so sad.
You start living for the day. So it's like, you take care of your needs, and then you're like, okay, I have a little bit of money left over. What am I going to do? Well, I can't save it. I'll buy some wine and get drunk with my friends, or you're gonna just wind up blowing it because there's no other way for you to save it, especially if you're poor. Because I mean, if you're rich and you have a lot of money left over at the end of the day, you could at least put it into some sort of capital good or something that's going to retain some value. But you know, the inflation is hardest on the poor people. I know that a lot of the propagandists try and turn that around and say, oh no, it only hurts the people with the savings. It's like, no, it keeps the poor people from ever even being able to save.
That's right. Actually, their number one saving investment, this is crazy to Americans, but our inflation is so much, their inflation is so much worse than ours. Is they all save in dollars, from the poorest person to the richest person saves in dollars. So they're trying to take their pesos and buy dollars. So that's the one thing they try to save in, is dollars.
Doesn't even let them do that. They step in the way of that, too. And then they have this crazy thing. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for me even to wrap my mind around.
They can't save in dollars?
Well, they do screwy things, like there's an official exchange rate, which certain privileged people can access. And then there's the real rate, the black market rate. Yeah. And then, of course, there's an arbitrage there. And I forget how that winds up actually actualizing in the real world for them. But
what's an arbitrage?
Oh, yeah. Arbitrage is anytime there's the same exact good, but with two different prices, and you can just, like, take it and flip it. So you'll see that sometimes in, like, the stock market. You'll see, different stock markets. Like, the price of gold might be trading on an Asian exchange at this one number, and then on, like, a U.S. or European exchange or whatever at a different number. And because there's enough of a difference, you just buy it in the one and sell it into the other. And you just make money immediately. Yeah.
Yeah. So a couple things they would do. You can't import dollars hardly at all. They limit the amount of dollars you can import. So if you're importing over, I believe it's $10,000 from anywhere else, it's illegal. The banks, the government lied like Colin talked about the value of the money. So the market rate is 1,000 to 1, but the government will say, the government said, oh, it's only 400 to 1. So there's only 400 pesos to $1. Well, like therefore that just destroys everything, because if you want to take pesos and buy dollars, it's actually really cheap to get a dollar. So what does the government have to do? They limit the amount of people that can do it. You have to get a special permit to trade pesos for dollars because it's very cheap. But if you're going in the other direction, like if you're a tourist, like when I went to Argentina, it's a total ripoff. If you go to the banks and exchange pesos and dollars, you're getting half the value. So what you have to do is you go through the black market. Both sides have to go through the black market. And everywhere you're in Argentina, you hear cambio, which means exchange. And
people on the streets, like drug dealers, they'll change dollars to pesos for you.
And it can be really dangerous too, because what they can do is they'll see that they'll have an accomplice with them, and they'll see that you have dollars, and you're exchanging with them, and then their accomplice will follow you and rob you. Follow you around. So there's a lot of like risk to actually exchanging, and there's certain caves, as if you watch the Tucker Carlson interview, There's certain caves that are you can go to, but there's just so much risk to it. They can always throw a counterfeit peso in there. You know, they'll give you all these pesos for dollars. Oh, we'll throw a couple counterfeits in there, or vice versa. So it causes so many problems in the economy. And we had the hardest time, honestly, the hardest time exchanging dollars for pesos when I was in Argentina, November 2022. So it's just a huge problem, and they don't have
a lot of violence there. Because you're mentioning, really?
It's intense.
Oh, not as much as Mexico, though. There was a thing that we shared. Oh, wait, did you take a different view on that?
It depends. Mexico, yes, the cartels and stuff, and the violence and stuff.
Well, that's like petty theft and things like that in Argentina.
Every single person in my family has been mugged. I mean, I have some really... I'm not even going to say very sad and stories. You see, even from now, every single person in Argentina has been mugged, been broken into.
I can't wait to go there. No, I'm just kidding. We know that this is because of all the poverty that's, you know, generated.
The poverty and the desperation and the fact that they don't... self-defense in Argentina is outlawed. Malay is actually trying to change that, but
with other types of self-defense.
It's kind of tricky because the Argentines are so gun. Malay likes guns, but Argentines in general are so taboo about. It's going to have to be a culture change.
Okay.
In Argentina.
Guns, though, like when you say that self-defense is outlawed, so to speak, is that like, so if I'm there and I'm getting mugged and I like try to punch the guy in the face or whatever, would I get in trouble for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can't retaliate against your attacker.
Right.
What if you're getting physically attacked? What if you're getting attacked and then you try to punch him?
So, I think you punch them, but let's say you get physically attacked and you stab them, you know?
That's illegal?
Their families can sue you. You're likely to get arrested.
Well, that's actually no different than the U.S. You can always sue somebody for things like that. I mean, the defense could say, you know, it's a, you know, reasonable response.
But it kind of depends on the state, too. They have, regulations in regards to that.
We're seeing them whittle away at those rights here in the U.S. You know, they're going after anybody who's acting in self-defense. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're finding these border cases, edge cases now to go after. But that's all meant to kind of set up the precedents to go after it, you know, outright. And so
it's weird because I know two people in Manchester, New Hampshire, who have obvious self-defense situations that they're going to court for right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like New Hampshire is supposed to be really good on guns.
Yeah, they can always, bring charges against you for anything, whether or not they stand up. But, of course, the process is the crime, as we know.
Yeah.
So
it's the punishment.
Yeah. Or, sorry, the... yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's even worse than that. They don't have any sort of castle doctrine or anything like stand your ground or anything like that. And that's one of the things that Malay is trying to fix, but it's really interesting when you go to it's such a fascinating country when you go there, because when you go there, all the houses are fortified. They don't really have front lawns. They have like walls, and they have walls that prevent people from getting in, and like almost like barbed wire on top of houses, and they have You shut your windows, like you lock your windows, like there's no windows at night, because they have these protectors over the windows, so you can't break anything. And you know, the one get around to all this is what they do is they train these guard dogs, these like attack dogs, and these attack dogs, so you can't hurt anybody, but your dog can rip them to shreds, and that's okay.
So they can't prosecute the dog. They can't like put it down on there.
They're not prosecuting the dog. So the dogs are like this huge industry of these like trained dogs that learned how that know how to kill people, and like that's what protects your house. So your dog can rip them to shreds. Your dog can kill them. But it's so fascinating when you go there because you just see what these people have to do to prevent against crime. They basically have to fortify their houses. You know, just
now Scott, what other Latin American countries have you been to? If you've been to any other ones, I think you have, right?
Yeah, Mexico, Guatemala, Belize.
Okay, yeah. I saw that when I've been in Mexico, you know,
the walls
and the bars and the windows, that's everywhere down there.
I've heard about that.
And it's also kind of
I've seen
like,
that in the U.S.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, New York City, all of the first, like, two stories have iron bars on them. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
All the places that the progressives have ruined.
Basically, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so, I mean, that's just the situation there, and I've heard, you know, I could get into some of these stories about the crime, but I'm not going to, because I know many personal stories about it.
You were committing them, right?
I just commit them here in the United States, but I'm joking. It's a really sad situation, and you basically can't walk around at night in a lot of places, and
aren't there places that are walled off that on the inside are basically all rich people and low crime and it's all government workers?
Oh, yeah. I told you about that. Yeah, I talked about this story. There's some neighborhoods that are like that are guarded. And my sister-in-law actually went to one of these in Buenos Aires. And this is where all the politicians and what Milei calls the caste lives. These are the people that live off the privileges of the government. And they are super rich. And they have this whole area that is walled off from the outside world. And where they drive around in their golf carts. They drive around in their golf carts and they have all this fancy dining and this fancy clothes.
Like
and
the Pork Fest organizers.
Yeah. And
exactly.
And these kids have like, they don't even let them, and surrounding these areas is just this abject poverty. And these kids that grow up there don't even know what the poverty looks like. A lot of them don't even leave the place. So these politicians' sons and these people that live off the government
are so crazy.
Rich.
You know what that's like? That's like the Buddha, right?
The story of the Buddha, where finally he sees the poverty and then he's mortified. And,
He sheltered
his whole life from it.
It's like that, yeah. And, right, yeah. So
I don't know. I feel like most people are enough of a sociopath that they'd be like, yeah, well, my dad is president and go back inside their wall.
Yeah, most people aren't the Buddha, yeah.
Yeah, these are the people that absolutely despise Javier Milei, but in Buenos Aires it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, during its liberal, like, I'm using liberal in the classical sense, they built beautiful buildings. I mean, everything, like, their buildings are so gorgeous.
Yeah, I would tell anybody who's listening right now, just Google image search, you know, architecture, Buenos Aires.
And all the cities.
You know, yeah, it is magnificent.
It's magnificent, yeah. And then, then you see these, you know, for example, I was driving on the freeway, and I was coming across an apartment building. I'm like, there is absolutely no way there's nobody living in that apartment. This has not been maintained in decades, this place. This place is falling down. Then you look, and it's like 20 stories high, and there's clotheslines on this place, and it's like there are people living in this place. It is like I can't even believe it. So and then you see the slums and all that. So it's just like that's what you have, these, you know, these walled off, guarded, like, rich places, and then this abject poverty.
And that makes so much sense, considering there are people there that can grab all the wealth that they can with the power that they have, give it to their buddies and their families, and make everybody else have to basically work for them and be the farmers.
Yeah. And the like, for example, the Fernandez government, the most previous one, they did not care at all about security, anything. They literally were just trying to plunder the country. That's all they cared about is getting money for themselves. They didn't care about anything. It's just like they were running on this, like, the country's doing great. I swear, like, that's who they were. Like, when they were running against Malay, his opponent, Massa, was like, the country's doing great. Our unemployment rate's only 6.2%. And wow. it was like, this guy, like, it was wild. They didn't even talk about it. Inflation, the Kirchners didn't talk about it at all. I mean, the economy's not grown in 12 years. It literally has not grown in 12 years. The economy's not grown. And it's remarkable what it's going for.
I have a question, a little unrelated to economics, but just something I haven't actually looked up, but I wonder all the time, and I just like haven't had time to look it up. It's right next to Antarctica, so is it like the Canada? Is it as cold as Canada in the winter?
Let me speak a little bit to this. So I don't know. Scott might even back me up on this. To me, I think of it very much as like America, but it's South America, you know, the United States, that is. It's, of course, it's very large, so it's like the entire east coast of the U.S. It's like that much size, and then it has a variety of climates, just like the U.S. does. You know, there's desert, there's, you know, like kind of tropical, you could say, in Florida.
It's not as close to the South Pole as Canada is to the North Pole.
It's different because of ocean currents and all sorts of things like that. Yeah, they have a lot of temperate areas, too, so it's... Yeah, go ahead.
Can I explain this? So if you put... It's a north and south country. It is the eighth biggest country in the world. Wow. So it's about the third of the size of the U.S. And there's a website that I call True Size Of. I recommend everybody to go True Size Of. And then it allows you to pick countries and compare them to other countries. It makes it proportional.
Can you put people on that, too?
So if you do that with Argentina, it's kind of astounding. It's about a third of the size of the U.S. It's over half the size of Europe.
I was about to say it's like the size of Western Europe. Yeah, it's very large. But yeah, a variety of different climates.
But if you put it, let's say the northernmost point of the continental U.S. Maine, and then all the way the southernmost point is almost into South America.
So when we get back, we're going to start talking about Malay himself. We've talked about basically how we got here. And it's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. Scott, can you stay on any longer, or do you have to go?
I'll send you the...
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing, but you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now. to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.